Father, thank you so much for this truth today that you have gently reminded us of, that you desire that we approach you as a child does a father. You are our Father. We are your children. God, I just ask and pray right now that even in this moment, that you would let somebody know that you are their daddy, that you are their Abba Father, as the word says, that you have them right in your arms, that you are holding them, that you have tomorrow figured out when they don't see past this moment, that you have this next month, this next year figured out, because you are a good father that cares about your children. So God, meet us right now and remind us of your love for us and how you want us to approach you as a child does a parent. We love you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. So Jesus is now in this narrative continuing on to Jerusalem. He is headed there to die on the cross. And pardon me, if you are in children's church, you can run out of here as fast as you would like to run, because I forgot, and I apologize. Children's church, 4 years old through second grade, you can head to children's church at this time. So Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem. He is headed there to die on the cross, and along the way, he has been teaching the disciples a series of lessons. These lessons are for the church. These lessons are for you and I. Thus far, we have seen Jesus teach us lessons about faith, lessons about humility, lessons about sin, divorce, and marriage. And today, we're going to see Jesus teach another very important lesson. And that lesson is this: the heart that he desires for you and I, the heart that we must have in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus uses an illustration through his love for children to show you and I the heart and attitude that he wants us to have whenever we approach him. And there are many things in this passage of scripture that teach us about the heart of Jesus and the heart that he desires for you and I to have. If you're taking notes, first of all, this passage of scripture teaches us that Jesus loves children. Jesus loves children. Look at verse 13, the very beginning of it. It says this: and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. So in this passage of scripture, we find parents bringing their children to Jesus, and Jesus is touching them. Jesus is picking them up. He is holding them. He's taking these children up in his arms. But please understand what Jesus is not doing here. Okay? Please understand what Jesus is not doing here. He's not doing anything like infant baptism. He's not giving them a special touch that would cause them to have some sort of a special power or anything like that. During this time, during this day and age, bringing children to a rabbi is something that was normal. In this case, these parents are bringing their children to Jesus. And this rabbi, or Jesus in this case, would lay their hands on the child, and they would bless the child. They would pray for the child. And it would be something that's similar to what we do during a child dedication service. Whenever we dedicate children in a service, this does not ensure them, you know, some sort of false salvation whenever they are older. Whenever we dedicate children in a service, what we are doing as a church family, what we are doing as parents, is saying that we are going to raise our children in the ways of God, in the purposes of God. And this is what was going on here. Jesus is blessing these children because Jesus loves children. And look what it says at the end of verse 13. It says, and the disciples rebuked them. The disciples rebuked these parents. Please understand the disciples, they love children. But more than likely, they are trying to protect Jesus from the crowds. So the disciples rebuke these parents. And then it says in verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. The word indignant that Mark uses here is the Greek word agonekteo. It's a very strong word that means to be very displeased. So Jesus was very displeased that the disciples were not allowing these parents to bring their children to Jesus. He wanted the children to come to him because Jesus loves children. And then he says to them at the end of verse 14, he says, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Skip down and look at verse 16. And he took them, the children, in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. So it's very obvious in this passage of Scripture that Jesus loves children. And as Jesus loves children, you and I must love children too. A man by the name of George MacDonald says something like this, I do not believe in a man's Christianity if boys and girls were never to be found playing around his door. You see, here at Lake Center, we love children. This is why we invest a lot of time and energy and resources and money into reaching children and teenagers because we love children. Jesus loves children, and so should we. This past November, and also this coming November, we are going to Panama. And why did we go to Panama? Why are we going back to Panama? What did we do whenever we were in Panama last year? We loved on children. We went there to show, of course, adults and also children the love and compassion of Jesus, to tell children that Jesus loves them. This past April, I went to the Dominican Republic with Compassion International. Compassion International is an organization, and in my opinion, it is the world's best organization for connecting churches and individuals with children who are living in extreme poverty all over the world. And it connects them, these children who are in need, and allows churches and individuals to partner with Compassion and to bless these children, to help take care of these children. And this is something that is coming for us as a church. In the days to come, I believe that God is calling us to partner with Compassion International to reach children all over the world who are in need. As a matter of fact, take a look at this video about what Compassion International does.
When I was 5 years old, my dad broke his leg and he couldn't work. We didn't have money for food. I was very scared. Near our home, bad people would be out at night and there was always trash everywhere. I felt like no one cared about me and I didn't matter. When I was 9, one of my neighbors told me about Compassion. I didn't know what it was about, but I liked it because I received a lot of help. I was fed there at the church, and I learned how to take care of myself. I learned that I was special and that God loved me and that He had a plan for my life. And I learned that I could ask Jesus into my heart, and when I did, I was so happy. I was waiting to get a letter from my sponsor, and when it finally came, I felt very happy and special. They were very loving in their letters. They loved me so much, even though we never met in person. At 15, I remember being so thankful for my sponsors and everything they did for me. I will remember them until the last day of my life. Without their help, my life would be so different. All I can say is thank you for so much love that showed me God's love. Now, I know I have value, and I know I have a future.
My name is Hilda. This is my story. A child from poverty in Jesus' name.
A child is waiting for you.
You can bring the lights back up. The Compassion International is just a wonderful organization that connects churches and individuals with children all over the world who are living in extreme poverty. And of course, like I said earlier, I had the chance to go with Compassion to the Dominican Republic and to see their work on the ground. And I'm just telling you, it is a wonderful organization, a wonderful organization. And I believe that God is going to be calling us to partner with them in the future. Again, Jesus loves children. Jesus loves children, and therefore so should we. Next, this passage of Scripture teaches us that what children need most is Jesus. What children need most is Jesus. Again, look at verse 13. It says, "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them." And I think there's something to be said here about this verse. These parents were bringing their children to Jesus. Parents in this room, grandparents in this room, aunts, uncles, guardians in this room. The culture will tell us that our children need this to be happy. The culture will tell us that our children need to be involved in this activity to be happy. The culture will tell us that our children need the next greatest piece of technology to be fulfilled. The culture will tell us that we need to dress our children in some type of clothes to be something special or to be someone special. But listen, what our children need most is Jesus Christ. Our children need to be brought to Jesus. Our children need to hear about Jesus. Our children need to see Jesus lived out in each and every one of us. Our children need to see us, the church body, serving the purposes of God. Our children desperately need Jesus. Our children desperately need a church family. This past week in my preparation, I came across a pretty long article by a man of the name Mark Bates. And I'm going to share just a little portion of this article. But the title of this article is this: "It Takes a Church to Raise a Child." He says, "I have often heard parents of college students lament that their children return home from school, drop off the laundry, and immediately go out with friends without spending any time with the family. I remember hearing that complaint and thinking, my little girls will never do that. After my daughter's first semester in college, she came home, dropped off her laundry, and immediately went to see a friend. However, I wasn't upset, I was thankful. The friend that my daughter went to see is the wife of an elder. That my daughter would want to spend time with this godly woman is a testimony to the church. Parenting is not for the faint of heart. It is also not something parents should attempt to do alone. Thankfully, those in the church don't have to. They are a part of an extended family, the family of God, that can play a vital role in the raising of children. How can church members assist parents in raising children to know and love the Lord? There are a number of practical ways. First, support the children's ministry in your church. This includes supporting the church budget, but also serving in ministries to children. Second, speak to the children, not just to their parents. Ask them about their schools, sports, or hobbies. All of these things that we consider small talk are ways to enter their world and express love and concern. This small talk, relationships of trust, develop that can be vital as the child grows older and needs other people to talk to besides just mom and dad. Third, older adults can have a profound impact on the children in the church family by befriending parents of young children. Many of our young parents did not grow up in Christian homes. They have no models for what it means to disciple their children or to parent in a godly way. Other young parents are often far away from family. Many of these long for mentors who will come alongside them, not merely as dispensers of wisdom, but as encouragers and friends. These parents need someone to remind them that even when they fail, God is still at work caring for their children. Finally, church members can pray for the children. Our children are part of a great spiritual battle, a battle for their souls. We will not win this battle through better programs or better parenting techniques. God must work in the hearts of our children. So we must pray for them, even as the Apostle Paul prays for the church, that God may give them a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. It takes more than parents to raise a child. It takes a family, a large family. Thank God that He has given us the church to be the family of God and blessed us all with the privilege of raising children. Amen. This past Sunday, we had Sunday School fellowships. And just a little bit off topic here, if you are not involved in a Sunday School class, a small group fellowship, I want to encourage you to be involved in one of our many Sunday School classes that we have here at Lake Center Baptist Church. What happens is whenever you join a small group of people, it gives you a phenomenal way to do life with a group of people. So if you're not involved in one of those, I encourage you to be involved in one of those. But this past week, we had Sunday School fellowships. We're trying to do these, you know, every month. And here's a picture of ours. And it was just a glorious night. We had a great, great time of just fellowship, of sitting around and just talking and enjoying each other. But one of my favorite moments of this night is that I came out of the Heiligs' home. We were at the Heiligs' house. And I came out of their house, and I looked out across the yard, and I saw three or four different parents playing with children who were not their own children. And it was just a really cool moment. And I understand the reason why is because our own children get on our nerves. I get that. I'm just joking. My kids don't get on my nerves that often. But it was just a beautiful moment to look out and to see members of my church family playing with my kids, and to see other parents playing with other kids. You see, that's what it's all about. That's one of the beautiful things about raising our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews in the church, is that they are a part of a church family. You see, our children need a church family. We need a church family. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God even charged the nation of Israel to teach His commandments and statutes to their children. He says, Moses says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You can also say daughters there. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You see, what our families need most is the Word of God. What our children need most is the Word of God. What our children need most is Jesus. Next, and quickly, I believe this passage of Scripture teaches us that children are safe in the arms of Jesus. Again, look at verse 14. Jesus says, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." And most theologians believe that whenever Jesus says these words, "For to such belongs the kingdom of God," Jesus is stating that little children who have yet to reach an age where they understand will go to heaven, will go to the kingdom of God if, heaven forbid, they pass away. Many theologians call this the age of accountability. And Jesus is saying that for all children who have yet to reach an age of accountability where they understand their sin, where they understand their need for Jesus, that they belong in the kingdom of God. It teaches us that our children who do not yet understand are safe in the arms of Jesus. We see this clearly played out in the Old Testament in the book of 2 Samuel. We're not going to turn there right now, but you remember in the story in 2 Samuel where there's this guy, his name is David. He was a king, King David, and he had everything a man could possibly want, and he has an affair with this woman. Her name is Bathsheba. And Bathsheba becomes pregnant. What's David do? He tries to cover up his tracks. He sends Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, to the front lines and has him killed. And Bathsheba has this child. And it goes on to tell us in 2 Samuel chapter 12 that this child becomes sick. And David goes in and he goes before the Lord and he falls on his face before the Lord and he prays and he fasts and he asks God to heal this child. But what happens? This child dies. And at the end of this passage of Scripture, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, David says, "But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again?" And then David says these words, "I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." When David says, "I shall go to him," what David is saying here is that he will one day see the child again in heaven. MacArthur says, "David would someday join his son after his own death. Here is the confidence that there is a future reunion after death, which includes infants who have died, being reunited with saints who die." McGee writes, "Our Lord took the children up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. He never did take anybody else up in his arms like that, friend. He took the little children because they are the ones he will receive. When they die in infancy, before the age of accountability, they go to be with him." And as restful as this truth is, that our children who have yet to reach an age where they understand are safe in the arms of Jesus, as restful as this truth is, listen, church family, it should also remind us that one day our children will reach an age of accountability. One day they will reach an age when they do understand. And this is why it is so important for us as a church family as parents, as aunts, as uncles, as guardians, grandparents. This is why it is so important for us today, now, to lay a biblical foundation for our children by praying for them. You might say, well, I don't have any grandchildren. All my kids are all older now. I don't have any young children in my life. Listen, if you're a part of this church family, you have lots of children who are a part of your life. That's why it's so important for us to lay a biblical foundation for them now by praying for them, by bringing them to church, by talking with them about Jesus. Remember, what our children need most is Jesus Christ. And lastly, and quickly, I'm moving as quick as I can. This passage of Scripture teaches us what I believe is, you could even argue, the most important point. The kingdom of God must be entered like a child. I skip verse 15 purposefully. It said, Jesus says this, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Church family, this verse this morning should open up our eyes. Jesus says, whoever does not enter the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. What does Jesus mean? How do we receive the kingdom of God like a child? And there are many words we can use to describe a child in relation to their parents. Words like shy, humble, innocent, trusting, unaccomplished, quiet. I mean, not my children, but somebody else's child. But I think in context here, Jesus is talking about being utterly dependent. I mean, think about this. A small child is utterly dependent on their parents for everything. For love, care, support, clothing, food, schooling, travel, to teach them. Children are completely dependent on their parents. And I believe that this is what Jesus is talking about here. For a person to enter the kingdom of God, they must be completely dependent on Jesus. You and I cannot enter heaven by any merits of our own. We enter the kingdom of God only by the grace of Jesus. There is nothing else that gets us to the kingdom. There's nothing else that gets us to heaven. We are completely dependent on the shed blood of Jesus to get us there. In context, we'll see this played out this very next week. I'm not going to read this entire passage of Scripture. I had planned on it. We just don't have time. But next week, we'll study this very Scripture. There's a rich man who comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus says to him, essentially, go sell all that you had and come and follow me. What's this man do? He turns away from Jesus and leaves sad. You see, this man was depending on his righteousness, on his accomplishments, on his stuff to get him to heaven. He was not going to depend on Jesus. And in order for you and I to enter into the kingdom of God, we are completely dependent on Jesus Christ. This is exactly why Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Paul also says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." You see, in order for you and I to enter the kingdom of heaven, it must be entered like a child with a complete dependence on Jesus through faith in his shed blood on the cross. Quickly, application. How can we apply this to our life? There's many ways we can apply this to our life. Number one, love children as Jesus loves children. And we love children as Jesus loves children. Number two, hope and pray that as we've gone through this passage of Scripture today, that you're reminded that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Please be reminded of this morning, church family, that as we look at this passage of Scripture, as Jesus would take up these children in his arms, and as he was telling the disciples, do not hinder them from coming to me. This is what Jesus says about you as an adult as well. It's very easy for us to get this image in our mind, Jesus playing with children and loving children and holding children. Another example in Luke's gospel says that Jesus was holding the infants. But that's what Jesus says about you. He loves you. He loves you as well. So know that Jesus Christ loves me. I didn't put this one in your notes, but it's very obvious. Bring my children to Jesus. Bring my grandchildren to Jesus by praying for them, by talking to them about Jesus, by being an example to them, by bringing them to a church, making church a priority. And lastly, may I trust in Jesus with an absolute dependence on his shed blood to pay the penalty for my sin through faith. Listen, we get to heaven not by any merits of our own, not by any earthly accomplishments. We cannot be good enough to enter into heaven. It is only by a complete dependence on Jesus Christ and his shed blood and placing our faith and trust in him. Would you pray with me this morning? Are you coming to Jesus like a child with a complete dependence on him, with a complete dependence on his shed blood, or are you trying to enter heaven based on your own merits? Listen, you can come to Jesus today as a child does their parents. You can come to him today. You can come to him in this very moment because Jesus loves you. He loves you more than you could possibly imagine. He loves you. And he wants you to come to him. He wants you to place your faith and your trust in him. Why do we need to do that? It's to have our sin forgiven. Listen, you cannot be good enough to have your sin forgiven. You cannot do enough good deeds to have your sin forgiven. You cannot have enough earthly accomplishments to have your sin forgiven. You have your sin forgiven by coming to Jesus and depending on his shed blood, by asking Jesus to forgive you. You come to him like a child this morning and say, Jesus, I come to you. I place my faith in you. I depend on your shed blood for the forgiveness of my sin. I place my faith and my trust in you, Jesus, and you alone. You can do that this morning. There's no magical prayer you pray. You pray something like that I just said. You depend on Jesus. You place your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you've placed your faith in Christ and you just need to be reminded that Jesus loves you. Maybe you saw that picture in your mind of children coming to Jesus. Know this morning that you can come to Jesus that very same way. With your hurts, with your struggles, with your baggage, with mistakes that you've made, with things you've thought about doing, with your confusion, with your worries about tomorrow, whatever you're facing today, know that Jesus is good. He is a good Father that loves you. You can come to him today. God, we come before your throne and we say thank you so much for this picture today that you gave us, that you love children, that children are safe in your arms. You want us to love children, but at the same time, you love us. And you want us to be utterly dependent on you like children are their parents. So God, help us to be that way today. Help us to approach you today as our Father, as our good Father. God, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, right now what we're going to do is we're going to stand to our feet. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to stand and we're going to worship God. We're going to sing a song back to him. about how he is a good father. And I just encourage you to worship him. This morning, maybe you're in this place and you need prayer. Maybe God has spoken to your heart about something and you need someone to just simply pray over you. Listen, we would love to pray with you this morning. In just a few moments, we're going to sing. We're going to worship God. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, you come forward and we would love to pray with you. If you have questions about what it means to be a follower of Christ, if you want to join this church and lock arms with us and be a part of what God is doing here, if you want to be baptized, this moment is for you as well. But you be obedient to God. You worship him and you do business with him right now as we sing.